Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Cabinet's approval of minimum support price of raw jute and achievements under National Health Mission. The participants are Aditi Tandon, senior journalist, and Lalima Anija Dang, anchor.
The Cabinet Committee of Economic Affairs today met under the aegis of Honorable Prime Minister Narendra Modi, and they discussed various issues. Among the most important was the milestones achieved by this government in improving India's public health outcomes. And another decision was increase in the MSP for jute. Well, for more on this, we are now joined by senior journalist Ms. Aditi Tandon. Welcome, Ms. Tandon, to Akashvani Studio.
Thank you.
So, Aditi, in this Cabinet Committee of Economic Affairs, the MSP for raw jute for 25-26 has been raised by 315 rupees per quintal. Since 2014, it's an increase of 3,250 rupees per quintal. How significant is this decision for the farmers, considering the fact that 40 lakh farm families are directly or indirectly dependent on the jute industry?
Like you mentioned, the importance of the numbers, that itself is a big number. 40 lakh farm families will be benefited directly or indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, you have around 4 lakh workers engaged in the jute industry overall and jute production. And see, encouragement to jute by way of such a significant rise in MSP is significant because jute is a sustainable product. We all know that in the fashion industry also jute is coming up as a very important fabric, and leading designers, not just in India but across the globe, are now using jute, khadi being the other product which is catching up.
Mm-hmm.
So sustainable product market is itself booming. And if you look at the global and the Indian context, this MSP hike is very important. So it is in line with the government's policy, if I would say, because government has been strengthening the MSP regime. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has repeatedly said that the idea is to keep consolidating the MSP structure and strengthening it wherever necessary. And also, largely, the government is trying. I'm not saying that they have reached where they should, but they are trying to give the MS Swaminathan committee formula, C2, the cost of production plus 50% profit on some crops at least.
Mm-hmm. And you think that because there's a surge of jute in the fashion industry, if you go to Bengal side, you often find not just wall hangings of jute, but also jute footwear, jute bags. So in the light of the increase in jute consumption, and as you just mentioned, jute as a sustainable product, this would be a significant decision?
Yeah, absolutely. Because crop diversification is a very important hallmark of the new agriculture policy. And if you hear the Prime Minister, if you hear Agriculture Minister Shivraj Singh Chauhan, they are repeatedly urging farmers to move towards natural farming, more sustainable products, get out of the traditional cycle of wheat and rice, which is, of course, important. But since we have a boom in production, so it's important for farmers also to diversify. But that's a path which is not taken as much as the government would want the farmers to take. So the government needs to keep encouraging. And this is a very good first step. And as you said, West Bengal especially will be benefited because, Lalima, last year, if I have the figures correct with me, jute was procured from around 170,000 farmers across the country, of which 82% were from Bengal.
Right.
And the rest were from Assam and Bihar. So you see, Eastern India is the hub of jute production, and Eastern Indian states will benefit in a big way.
Yes, we do remember a few months ago, the government had made it mandatory, to have all the packaging done in some areas and replace plastic with jute bags, which would be very much environment friendly, as well as, of course, benefit to the people or the farmers who are growing jute. Indeed, you made a nice point that about 170,000 farmers were benefited by this decision last year. Well, moving on, Aditi, when we talk about the improvement in the public health outcomes, that has shown an overall positive outcome. We had about 12 lakh additional healthcare workers between financial year 2021 and 24. And that's all the maternal mortality rate, which can be a scourge for a developing nation, that has declined by 83% since 1990, which is higher than the global decline of 45%. Time to cheer?
I won't go far enough to say that it's time to cheer, but looking at the large population that we are and looking at the historical constraints that we've suffered, largely in the health sector, finances have not come easy. We have taken our while to get on to catching up with the rest of the world insofar as tackling and addressing major communicable and non-communicable diseases go. But you see, the National Health Mission makes a very important inroad in that particular segment, because for the first time under the National Health Mission, which obviously subsumed the previous editions of National Rural Health Mission and the National Urban Health Mission. And, you know, this was launched in 2017 in a comprehensive manner. The idea was to, for the first time, grant universal access to affordable and quality healthcare. And the focus for the first time, I must say, because I have tracked the health sector for a pretty long time now to make comparisons. For the first time post-2017 and the National Health Policy, the latest one, we saw a clear shift from the system of treating oneself after getting the disease to preventive and promotive healthcare. In that segment, the National Health Mission is a key policy initiative because it creates health and wellness centers at the community level, which means the village level. We are almost touching 2 lakh centers now, which we now call by the name of Arogya Mandirs. What happens at these centers is you get screenings for basic diseases and you get screenings also for some major cancers. So in health, early screening is the key to eradication or elimination. So we are getting there and it's a great step forward.
Does this also reflect the fact that the government's initiative is more towards primary health care? Because in the hospitals, you see a lot of people, you know, a little bit of fever, a little bit of disruption in health, and they flock to the big hospitals. So if you make your primary health care strong, it takes a bit load off these big hospitals which are there in the urban or semi-urban areas.
Yeah, absolutely. India took a very long time, Lalima, to get towards the primary healthcare focus. And if you look at health models globally, and if you look at health research, you will actually find that countries that focused more on primary health are the countries which have lowest diseases burdens today. So we finally moved towards preventive and primary healthcare only post 2016, 2017, let's say. And the share of expenditure in primary healthcare also has taken a spike only after that. So we are talking of very recent years. So we cannot expect meteoric gains suddenly, but we can expect incremental gains, which we are making. So under the National Sickle Cell Anemia Mission, for instance, the screening that we have done is around 2 crore over a period of 2021 to 24 under the National Health Mission. Likewise, in TB elimination, we are gradually reaching the target, which we have set, a very ambitious target that we'll eliminate TB by 2025. Although the global target and deadline is 2030 as per the World Health Organization and the UN Sustainable Development Goals. But what I'm trying to say here is that you are getting there finally, because you made a policy shift which changes the approach to health, takes healthcare to the people rather than people flocking to get healthcare. So it's absolutely the reverse model.
More encouragement towards yoga and Ayush.
You reminded me of a very important vertical of the National Health Mission. This is also, we are seeing for the first time that we have Ayush verticals in major hospitals, like even AIIMS has one. So you give people choices, and Indian alternative medicine systems are now receiving global recognition. Yoga has become a global rage. You know, United Nations has been marking the International Day of Yoga on India's initiative. So all that is there. Plus, a very important part of the National Health Mission outcome, apart from what the cabinet discussed today, cabinet, of course, discussed major gains in addressing infant mortality rate, maternal mortality rate, total fertility rate, and other such indicators. But what strikes me is that out-of-pocket expenditure, which tends to pull people who have actually come out of poverty back into poverty. is finally starting to decline in a significant way. We can't say that we have got there, but it has started to decline. For instance, national health estimates tell us that out-of-pocket expenditure percentage was as much as 62% of the total expenditure of people by about 2014. And this has come down to about 46 to 47% in the latest round of health estimates. So slow and incremental gains are being made.
Moving on, you mentioned TB, a very important problem. It is said that 25% of the world's tuberculosis patients are in our country, unfortunately. And that has reduced now from 237 per lakh population in 2015 to 195 in 2023. TB mortality rate has decreased from 28 to 22 in the same period. There was this program of Adopt a Patient. Has that been very helpful?
This Nikshay Mitra initiative, which was launched when Mansukh Mandavia was the health minister. This is actually an extension of the government's overall policy of encouraging community participation in larger government programs. Because we have heard Prime Minister Narendra Modi repeatedly give a call of Jan Bhagidari. He's made that call from the Red Fort multiple times.
Yes.
In the health sector, this is a major initiative where you are actually appealing to people in the community to come forward and adopt one patient and to review and take care and follow up with this patient till this patient is able to win the battle against TB. As you rightly said, Lalima, the major problem with tuberculosis treatment is that people tend to abandon the treatment regimen in between because it's a little long. Although the treatment regimen timelines have now been shortened with a lot of new drug discoveries. But still, people have to be told to take the medicine in time because otherwise they develop drug resistance. And drug resistant and extreme resistance TB are even more dangerous, as we know, and they have a higher mortality rate than normal TB. You are right that under the National Health Mission, the community adopting the TB patients, and there's a nutrition component also, you give a certain nutrition kit to these patients. And the point is that it's a nice thing when you stand up for each other. It brings you closer even as a community, and it has multiple benefits. Not all of them are tangible. But there are a lot of intangible benefits of Jan Bhagidari.
So this 1.56 lakh Nikshay Mitra volunteers, along with, as you mentioned, the immunity kits or the nutritional kits have helped build up immunity and deal with this problem rather effectively. Let's move on, Aditi. And we have this U-Win pilot, which has been launched to track vaccination events across India. Could you tell us more about this?
U-Win was basically conceived after the super successful COVID model. No one in the world believed that a country as large as India, with a population of 130 crore people, such a huge population, could successfully manage COVID vaccination program. And, you know, that wonderful discovery that happened through the COVID platform, which reminded everybody of their timelines. So basically, now that same platform is being replicated for newborn vaccination. Because again, the same problem, that how do you track children and how do you ensure 100% vaccination cycle for newborns? Because a lot of diseases can be prevented through vaccination, vaccine preventable diseases as we know them. It becomes easier when messages go on the mobiles of their mothers that it's time to get the child, it's the child, it's next shot. So it makes it so simple and it's all digital. It becomes easier for health workers to track these children. It cuts down on, you know, needless costs. It cuts down on needless investment of human resources. So you save on multiple fronts. That is the basic logic behind UVIN. And of course, I think this can be a game changer in the government's goal of achieving 100% universal immunization for newborns.
Right. Well, time is short, and amongst other achievements of the India's public health outcomes, it has been that India has achieved 97.98% coverage in measles rubella vaccination campaign. And also, Pradhan Mantri National Dialysis Program has been a huge success, benefiting about 4.53 lakh dialysis patients in 2023-24. And on that positive note, thank you, Aditi Tandon, for talking to us and updating us with your vast experience in the health sector. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on Cabinet's approval of minimum support price of raw jute and achievements under National Health Mission. The participants were Aditi Tandon, senior journalist, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor.
Spotlight.